Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it. We must show them love. We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus, for this is true revival. Love is all they need, everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love. Well, welcome to Everlasting Love. My name is Patricia King, and I have a good friend of ours with me today, Prophet, actually, Randy DeMaine, because you have been carrying some pretty hefty words for the body of Christ over the last number of years. Of course, yes. You're the author of, the Nephilim Agenda and right. Nephilim Resurgence right. and also Dominion Surges. And now, actually, your new book, Prophetic Surges, mm-hmm. which we're going to be looking at some of the points in this book and discussing the message of this book on today's program. Mm-hmm. So wonderful to have you,
thank you
back with us. I know that you've been all over the world.
Yes.
You know, ministering in the nations. And,
yes.
You minister not only in the prophetic, but in healing and teaching and nurturing and helping leaders understand, you know, the times, like the sons of Issachar knew the times and knew what they were to do. So you help leaders and others in the body, and we so appreciate you and the mandate that God has on your life.
Thank you, Patricia.
But today we want to talk about prophetic surges, birthing the more glorious church.
Yes.
And I want to ask you, Randy, why did you name the book Prophetic Surges? Like, our viewers might even want to know what a surge is.
Okay.
And especially a prophetic surge. What sure. does that mean?
Well, a surge is like a wave. It's like a giant wave that comes in. And when it comes, it covers everything. It completely, it's like a deluge. Everything that it touches is completely covered. And it just moves through and changes things. And so a prophetic surge would be what we would call like a prophecy of the Bible or a prophetic utterance that would come upon us, and we begin to speak forth the word of the Lord.
Like surge it out.
Like surge it out. And so when we find God moving great moves through history, through biblical history and through our own history, we find that it often comes when there is a prophetic word that goes out, and it's like that deluge, and it catches, and it just begins to cover and then bring forth the things of the Lord.
Now, in that book, you've actually made these prophetic surges for the emergence of the more glorious church.
Right.
And now, I just heard a message that you were preaching earlier today before we came on the set. It was very, very powerful, about how God has got us in a transition right now mm-hmm. where He is actually closing down one era, an entire era, mm-hmm. and opening up a new one where we are going to see the manifestation of the more glorious church.
Right.
So what is the more glorious church?
Well, Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and it's a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture where he begins to compare the transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. And in that transitional time, four or five times, he calls the ministry of the Spirit the more glorious church. The more glorious, the more glorious. And so we find that as we move from glory to glory, that the church never diminishes,
right.
but always increases. And I felt like we're in a time of transition, which I think a lot of people feel, that at least that are out and about
right.
traveling. And it was like, how does the church get to its next place? How does it move forward? And so I felt as though the Lord began to share with me how to have a strategy to move forward, and it's by the power of the prophetic word being spoken, which gives vision, direction, and understanding so people can begin to move from where they are prophetically into the future.
I really like what you said about everything always gets more glorious. Like, we're not diminishing. The church has never diminished, right? From the book of Acts, when the church was birthed by the Spirit of God,
right.
You see a measure of flow of the Spirit of God mm-hmm. at that time. But since that time, we've truly gone from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. But also, every generation has a thread of revelation of God that we act upon that just puts that fabric together that presents Jesus in more fullness. Mm-hmm. So it is more glorious. We know more of Jesus today than we ever have, because the revelation deposit right. of the kingdom is in the earth more than ever before.
Right. And so that's what I'm actually capturing in this book, is that there is a revelation for our generation. There's something that we as a generation are going to see about Christ, about the kingdom of God, and we're going to give word and action to it. And so it's about birthing this next move, this next more glorious expression of the church, not being content to leave it where it is, knowing that there is more, and giving footprints, giving voice, giving articulation in our spirit, man, and amongst one another, so we can begin to contend for the more and not settle for where we are, but know that there's a greater expression
right.
ahead.
Now, mm-hmm. as a prophet, Randy, what do you see the more glorious church looking like? Have you had little glimpses of what we're going to look like in this next era?
I do. There's a very interesting scripture about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it talks about what is man that you are mindful of man, and so forth. And it talks about mankind, and then it compares him to the Lord Jesus, and it says, even though man hasn't fully recovered, it says, yet we see Jesus.
Right.
And so when I think of the more glorious church, we may not totally see what we're going to be yet in the fullness, because we've had some pretty incredible expressions and moves of God, but we see Jesus. So if you begin to look at Jesus, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3, that's the unveiling.
Right.
That takes the veil off our eyes so we can see more.
Right.
And so I begin to talk about how we're going to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus like we have not known. And I liken it to like Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he was a good man, he was a godly man, but when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, which the New Testament tells us he saw the Lord Jesus,
right.
it changed him. Mm. He said, woe for me, for I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the fiery coal from heaven
right.
came and touched him, changed him. And then there was a commissioning.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that happening, and then I also see that which happened to Peter, where just the goodness of God came, and he gave him a great catch of fish.
Right.
And so there was a commissioning to him as a fisherman. So I see those things happening in the encounter that gives us a greater revelation of Jesus. But I believe ultimately it'll be the greater love, greater power, greater authority, and the greater manifestation of anything that we've seen heretofore in our generation of the church.
The Bible says in Romans 8 that all creation is actually groaning mm-hmm. for the manifestations of the sons of God, which speaks of us in our maturity,
right.
ready to live in the inheritance that's been given to us. And, you know, we have a long way to go. Like, if you look at the church, the state that it's in right now, in the natural with all of its lumps and bumps and
sure.
and stains, and yet we know that Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. But what the Lord has revealed to many of us, and I've heard you talk about the fire also,
mm-hmm.
is that the baptism with fire that has not actually come to the corporate body
right,
yet
right.
is on its way.
Right.
And in one instant, the change that you're talking about can actually transpire. I mean, just a suddenly, because in Malachi, it says the Lord suddenly came to his temple, and he came as a refiner's fire.
Yes.
And he brought everything into alignment. Has the Lord revealed anything to you about the baptism with fire, the man of fire, the God of fire that is going to, you know, illumine or at least expose this glorious church?
Right, and I believe that fire is coming, and I believe it's coming to bring us into an area of knowing God and an area of personal awareness of how we stand with God that we've not been able to see before. It's a greater grace that's coming to reveal the depth of who we are before God, and if there's repentance needed, it will bring it. But in the book, I write about the priesthood,
mm-hmm.
and so that's very important, because what Martin Luther brought back in the last Reformation about the priesthood, I believe the priesthood came and grew to good adolescence, but we've never come into that real maturity.
Right.
And we find in Scripture that when the priesthood is right, the people are right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I write about the need for the priesthood to come back into alignment. And the Lord says the way the priesthood is, you mentioned in Malachi 3, so he's going to come like a fire,
right.
like a launderer's soap. And so that fire will purge and burn those things from us that we may not even know that are offensive to God, but that fire will bring it. They'll bring an awareness. They'll bring a conviction.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be a pure offering, and we can bring a pure offering to the Lord.
Amen.
And then it says in Malachi 3, when we do that, when we get the priesthood gets back in order, then God begins to fight our enemies for us. It's a whole shift. Right now, we're trying to advance and go. We're doing a good job. But the Lord says there's coming a time when the fire comes upon the priesthood, and then the priesthood just stands before God, and God begins to take our enemies out for us. That's what I'm looking for.
Wow. I know that, you know, like when you dream big about what the church is going to look like mm-hmm. in its glorious form, yeah. its more glorious form, is, you know, like I like to dream about, you know, everyone walking together in unity in Him yes. and love being magnified, and like things like anti-trafficking, you know,
yes.
Agendas actually being released to such a degree that the trafficking of children and sex trafficking, drug trafficking, all of that is just annihilated,
yes.
you know, and why not,
right.
you know, because
yeah.
we've been given authority.
Sure, yeah. I love to see that. I agree with you. And I think that many of those issues are going to be foremost because they're in the heart of God. The injustices in the world will be addressed by the church with great authority and power. And I believe that's going to be one of the things that will really mark this more glorious church is the move and the authority and the power that the Lord Jesus moved in. Something that we really haven't fully come into yet, that authority to be able to speak to a nation or speak to a situation mm-hmm. and bring the justice of God. I'm looking forward to that in a great way.
Now, revelation is not possession. So we can know that this more glorious church is coming, and we can believe it because God's revealed it, and
right.
especially when He reveals it through a prophet like yourself, I don't have any doubt. I believe that this more glorious church mm-hmm. is going to be made manifest in the earth.
Yes.
But just because I believe in the revelation of that doesn't give me possession of it.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Bible, we see things like, you know, how Elijah, for example, when he got the word of the Lord, about the prophets of Baal.
Mm-hmm.
He went and did that, and the God who answered by fire consumes mm-hmm. the offering, and then the Baal prophets lie down and say, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God," and then they chopped off the head, deliverance ministry.
Right.
Okay, but then he said, I hear the sound of a heavy rain. So he heard prophetically, he had revelation mm-hmm. that a heavy rain, because there was no clouds in the sky, so he couldn't have known it naturally.
Right.
So he has a revelation, but then he goes to the mountain. He sends a servant out to check it out. Then he goes to the mountain, puts his head between the knees in a birthing position in prayer and remains there until.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the disciples in the book of Acts doing the same thing when Jesus prophesied to them
yeah.
that they would receive the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Right.
They went into that birthing position. I feel like your book, Prophetic Surges, is actually a great tool for when, you know, you deliver this prophetic vision of this glorious church, this more glorious church, that you give us a tool where we can make decrees
right.
toward that and actually give birth to it.
Yeah, I call it the prophetic pressure principle.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you have a prophetic word, but we need to put pressure on it until it manifests.
Right.
And I believe the whole world is, you know, created by God, and the DNA of all of God's creation is to respond to His voice. So when we speak His word into creation, it's going to manifest. But sometimes we need to put pressure on it, like Elijah did. Seven times he had to pray. Seven times he had to keep pressing until he broke through whatever resistance that was there.
Right.
And then the miracle manifested. 10 days they waited in the upper room. They began to wait upon the Lord until the prophetic word came. But they contended for it. They put pressure on it. And so just as I wrote in this book, the same thing as I've written many, many hundreds of scriptures about what the church is to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we begin to take that word, put it in our mouth. We begin to prophesy it out of our own mouth, prophesy it to one another. And what we're doing is the same thing as Elijah and the disciples did. We're putting pressure on the vision, on the promised word of God, and until it bursts, until it manifests. And then we begin to become what the word says that we will become.
That's wonderful, Randy. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. And you know, when... like we can call those things that are not as though they are. So, mm-hmm. you know, when we look at the church and its shape today, there's right. a lot of exciting things happening, the best things ever mm-hmm. in all of church history. And then on the other side, there's some cleanup that is needed
right.
and things that are out of order and things that are confused in that. But as we, you know, take this word mm-hmm. and begin to prophesy that word out, it'll bring into being what wasn't.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and then that comes over ourselves too. If we're decreeing these things for the whole church, we're going to be recipients of it, we who have been decreeing it.
Yes, it's a restorative movement because God is always restoring, and His goodness is always restoring us and replenishing us. And so I talk a lot about the revelation, by the way, that I got at one of our Experience Night meetings here last
right.
year. And the Lord says, begin to look at the church the way that Abraham looked at Sarah. And that's a strange word, right? I'm like, what does that mean? And then he went on to say, he looked at her as the wife and the womb of the sons of promise.
Right.
And so right away I begin to understand that we as the church are the womb
right.
of the sons of promise, the sons that have been promised to come forth in their fullness and their maturity and in all that the conformity of Christ.
Right.
And so I said, well, Lord, how's that going to work? And he said, well, you need to begin to speak over the womb of the church. Begin to speak over the church just as I spoke over Abraham and Sarah until they have faith to conceive. And then when I come to visit, it'll bring forth the sons. And so
wonderful.
We're putting this in motion. And as I mentioned in the message this morning, this isn't just a message. This is a movement of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's a birthing of a movement, of a reformation of the next era of the church that is to come.
Wonderful, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Randy, we're going to take a break right now, but we'll be back because I know you have so much more to impart to us.
Prophetic Surges by Randy Demain shows you how to bring heaven's glory into reality on earth. This book calls you to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Order now for only $12 plus shipping. Call 866-980-5464 and mention television offer 331. Go online to patriciaking.com or text BLESS to 42828. Order now.
Randy, when we think about this more glorious church, we know that praise and worship, you know, is something central to the heart of the believer mm-hmm. and our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Does praise and worship have a role in bringing forth and giving birth to the more glorious church?
I believe it does. If you look at the history of praise and worship, particularly in the last few hundred years, music has been an integral part in putting to music the words of our redemption, of our salvation, but also of what is to come. And so we know that those of us who are prophetic, when you get in the atmosphere of strong praise and worship, your prophetic and your revelatory opens up. And so there's a spirit of wisdom and revelation begin to come. The openness of our spirit begins to happen. And if we would have a generation of songwriters that would come up and begin to write the prophetic scriptures, things that we haven't seen to the fullness yet manifest in the earth that the Scripture prophesies, things that are to come, things concerning the sons, the bride that made herself ready. We begin to put those words to music, and we begin to, in an atmosphere of praise and worship, begin to sing His own word back to Him. Mm. It's going to cause a quicker assimilation in our spirit man of who we are and who we are to become.
Wow.
And the witness of the power of God will come upon us during praise and worship. So it's a very integral part of this movement to bring us forward, of singing the songs of the movement.
Wow. Just as you were, you know, saying that, I was getting in my spirit a word for those of you that already move prophetically in music. I just see this full measure of outpour. I just saw oil being poured out upon you and even greater than even what David walked in. You know, every person's unique and there's not another David on the face of the earth all throughout the history of man, for sure. But I see that element of anointing like never before. So if you are quickened by that word, just take it, just absorb that, because I really feel that there's a commissioning anointing being released right now unto that end. The prophetic psalmists, the prophetic singers, the prophetic instrumentals, that the music itself is going to carry decrees. I just feel that really strong. So just receive that in the name of Jesus. And that's really, actually, I just see a glory cloud all around you, yeah. Randy, right now.
Amen.
And it's actually got a blue tinge to it. And I believe God's saying to you, Randy, that you are going to be instrumental, because prophets actually anoint kings.
Yes.
And I see you anointing a new breed of prophetic minstrels and psalmists to make decrees for the emergence of this this glorious church. But also, have you been getting songs from the Lord? Have you been getting decrees? Because I see it all over you.
Yeah.
I see music notes coming out of your heart, out of your head. Mm-hmm. And God's going to show you things that will like pull the strings of heaven. It's like playing the strings in the earth, but pulling the strings of heaven to release the glory of God.
Yes, I've been getting those, and that's very true.
Wow.
The Lord spoke to me that every movement has a message, and that every movement has some music, and they need to go together. So as they work together, we're going to release the prophetic utterance, the desire of God's heart. And it's powerful.
When you
put prophecy to music and we sing it, it does something that you can't get any other time. It's unity. We all come into the unity of singing and prophesying the Word of God.
Are you getting any prophetic revelation about the prophetic dance, prophetic art, and other expressions? Is that also going to be used in this?
The dance is critical. The Lord spoke to me a lot about the dance of the maidens, which is very interesting, but I realized that the dance of the maidens is the dance for the coming of the Lord, for the bridegroom. And so there's something about that that's very, very powerful. It's a preceding motion of the people of God to prepare the way of the Lord in expectation of His visitation. So there's the dance of the maidens, and that's very important, but the art, the visual, needs to be an integral part. We need to be seeing what we're saying. And if we can begin to see what we're saying, it'll just move us quicker into this more glorious expression.
You know, I just see in my spirit right now surges coming off of art, coming off of canvas. I see surges coming off. And it's like, again, I just want to prophesy. I mean, there's a big prophetic anointing right here. Is that many of you who have had your hand to the brush, there's something new coming on you. There's a new expression of prophetic surge that is coming on you. And, you know, actually in transitions in history, isn't it true, Randy, that there's like art has spoken the message?
It has been every Reformation. What comes forward is art and music and movement. It's an integral part of every Reformation. It carries the Reformation, but it also releases new levels that have been held captive, the expression that's been held back. The lid's taken off, and we have these beautiful expressions, and it moves us into a grander, more glorious expression.
Now, in your book, you talk about bridal worship.
Yeah.
And the fragrance of bridal worship. What is that?
It's an amazing thing. I got to looking at it because I knew that the Lord was going to come back in His robes were going to be covered with the fragrance of heaven. And I said, what are those fragrances? I want to know. So I began to study the spices and the fragrances throughout Scripture and their different meanings. And so let me just read a couple to you. They're very interesting
to me.
That'd
be awesome. Thank you.
For example, spikenard directly relates to worship and to purity. So there's a fragrance of spikenard. Henna has a direct relation to redemption. In fact, the Hebrew word for henna means ransom. And so it's a very insightful study. So we find there's the fragrances. And, of course, you have the beauty of holiness but on the bride, but you begin to put the fragrances on the bride. It just is like a calling out or a welcoming or saying, Lord, this is what you smell like and this is what you want us to smell like. So we begin to put on these virtues of salvation and redemption. And saffron is faith. That's the meaning of saffron. Myrrh is completion through suffering. So as we go through these things, we begin to take on these fragrances. We have frankincense is the priestly anointing. Pomegranate is the mind of Christ. And so when you look through these, and all these fragrances are amazing.
That is so wonderful. Isn't it interesting that sometimes in worship that you'll actually smell those fragrances?
Yes.
They actually come in.
Yeah.
You know, Randy, we're going to be right back because I want you to make some of these prophetic decrees over our viewers.
Okay.
You know, that new season would emerge in them.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's a fantastic tool, your book. And we'll just do some right out of the book right after we have this message.
Prophetic Surges by Randy DeMaine shows you how to bring heaven's glory into reality on earth. This book calls you to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Order now for only $12 plus shipping. Call 866-980-5464 and mention television offer 331. Go online to patriciaking.com or text BLESS to 42828. Order now.
Well, welcome back. This is such an exciting topic that we're on as we're receiving this prophetic word about the more glorious church and how God is releasing prophetic surges in the earth to bring heaven to earth. So this is awesome. Now, Randy, why don't you just go ahead and just make some of these prophetic surges,
okay.
Some of these prophetic decrees.
All right. These are just an example of a few. This is regarding the Sons of Promise. And so we just decree this word. These are basically scriptural declarations that are almost exact, if not exact, word of the Lord. It says this: I am a son of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Therefore, through my life and calling unto the Lord, all families of the earth, eye contact, shall be blessed. Now, do you see how that releases to you a greater awareness of who we are? And so let's continue. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Therefore, by faith in Christ Jesus, I arise to become co-heirs with Christ, being the seed of Abraham by faith. And I go on to say, I believe God who has declared, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He has predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. There's sonship. There's that relationship there that we want to seek after in a fullness, the sonship of not being on the outside, but being on the inside, on the inner circle of God as a child of God. Goes on to say, through Christ Jesus, I am redeemed from the law that I might receive my adoption as a son. And because I am a son, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into my heart, causing me to cry out, Abba, Father. Oh, that's good. We have a generation that needs a heavenly father. And here you can find that you have one. Goes on to say, I'm no longer a slave or a child. Now I am a mature son and master of all God has given me to do. And as a son, as an heir of God, I am now about my father's business. If you want something to do, we're going to be about our father's business. All right? So that's just an example. Look in there and you'll be blessed.
Randy, thank you so much for joining us today. And I just love your book. It's going to be a great tool for everyone who picks up that book, as well as Dominion Surges.
Right.
The two of them are companion books.
Yeah.
And to those of you who are watching, I want you to remember this big surge. It's a big prophetic surge. God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll see you next time.